good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today, Professor Dr. Noor Azhar Abdul Aziz. She's a professor of family medicine with UKM's Faculty of Medicine. In her 25 years of practicing medicine, she is among the first to advocate for long-term care of stroke in the community and had initiated the long-term stroke clinic in UKM. In 2001, she was appointed a peer review member by the World Health Organization, WHO, to develop a module for rehabilitation in stroke for developing countries. Prof. Azhar, I'm delighted to have you here. Thank you for being on the show today. I'm hoping we can begin our conversation essentially by setting the scene. What is it that I and our audience need to understand about stroke and surviving stroke? And the reason I ask is because I come with some preconceptions. I think of stroke as an acute incident. I think of stroke as having long-term, irreversible impact. And I think of it as only happening to the elderly. And I know that I'm wrong. So tell me more about what we need to understand about stroke.
Well, thank you, Melissa, for that kind introduction. Okay, there's a huge question there. Mm. Okay, I'll try to answer one by one. Stroke is what we call a cerebrovascular accident. It's when there is blockage of blood circulation or blood supply to the brain vessels. It's either when it being obstructed by clot. Mm. Or when the blood vessel bursts because of the pressure. So basically, there is no oxygen to the brain. So that is stroke. We should consider stroke as an acute medical emergency.
Okay.
Because time is brain for stroke. The sooner you get the intervention, the sooner you get diagnosed and managed, the good the prognosis would be. But having said that, stroke is an acute medical condition with a long-term sequelae. So when you have stroke, you will have a lot of sequelae of or complications after that.
Okay.
Because why? Because when there is blockage of blood, oxygen to the brain, what happens is that it will actually targeted the area of the brain that controls the function of the body. So it is irreversible. So the body will have effect on that in terms of disabilities, such as people might know people with stroke with weakness of the part of the body, inability to walk, problem with speech, swallowing and all that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how to survive stroke? How to survive stroke is that the first thing is that we must know it is medical emergency, we must know the presentation of stroke. Everybody, yeah, because before I go to that, stroke is related to what we call cardiometabolic risk factors. Hypertension, everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. Diabetes, dyslipidemia, smoking, alcohol, physical inactivity. That actually causes the blood vessel either obstructed or ruptured.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, what happened is that this obstruction or blockage or burst of blood vessel, they come with signals.
Okay.
Right. So in Malaysia, we want public to understand about signals of stroke. So we want it to be fast, time is brain. The term that we want everybody to understand is what we call be fast.
It's self-explanatory, yeah. But it also stands for specific things.
Right. Okay. B is about balance. People with stroke will lost balance. Mm. E is about eyes. That's the people with stroke will complain of they can't see. Something wrong with the eyes. Mm. Okay, that is B. F is about face, facial asymmetry. A, arm weakness. Mm-hmm. F-A-S, speech. They can't speak, slurring of speech. F-A-S-T, time. If somebody in your household have this, do not hesitate, call 999.
Okay.
All right. Okay. How bad is stroke in Malaysia? All right. In 2016 and above and 2020, we know that 6 new cases of stroke occurs every hour in Malaysia.
6 new cases every hour.
And then we know that around 90 to 92 of stroke admission occurs daily in Malaysia, Malaysian hospital. So we have around roughly 52,000 of Malaysians suffering from stroke yearly. So that's a big number, Melissa. Very big number.
Incredible, and I think also underscores the urgency for having a kind of comprehensive national framework to address all the people who survive stroke. Because it's not everyone who perish. There are many survivors. So what happens to them after they leave acute medical care when they go home? Let's talk a little bit about that. What do we understand about stroke survivors who've left hospital and are now back home, getting home-based care, and have to live in the community?
Right, okay. Because stroke, naturally, they will follow the rule of three. Okay. Whatever it is, one third of them will perish, all right? Because of lack of early intervention or very severe stroke, things like that. One third of them will live with little or minimal disability. We are okay with that. They can go back to the society, they can work. But think about another one third of that, that they're going to live with mild to moderate disability. And we know that because of these cardiometabolic risk factors, people are getting younger of having this. So because of that, stroke incidence, people with stroke are getting younger. There's no more stroke of 70 or 80 year old that can you just, you know, put it somewhere at home and let it be. So when you have stroke at 60, 50, so you're still working. So you are the breadwinner of the house. You are the mum of the house. So life cannot just stay still like that, right? So when you have stroke, the good thing about Malaysian is that we have good acute management of stroke. It's one of the best in developing country. So it's very good. And most of it are subsidized in public hospital. We have good neurologists that look after stroke patient. So we are good. What happens is that when the patient goes back home, right? So they are going back into their home to live with stroke.
Right.
So these people, some of them only now knew that they have hypertension, diabetes, dyslipidemia. They are shell shocked with that. So they have to continue the treatment. They have to go to the doctor now in the primary care centers to get treatment, or else the stroke will again recur.
Right. Okay, so I have to address the underlying factor of the stroke.
Yes. Okay. The second one is that because of this disability, you just cannot let it be, right? So our brain is beautiful. It has a way to what we call reconnect back again. Neuroplasticity mechanism, where the area surrounding the damaged area will find a way to reconnect. But you have to have stimulation to this. It's what we call rehabilitation.
Okay, wonderful. I want to talk about rehabilitation and the, you know, our ability to address the effects of stroke, but also to maybe reverse some of the effects of stroke. Can we first talk about some of the, what we understand about stroke survivors who live at home? There hasn't been much research done into the needs of stroke survivors and their caregivers. Why is that? Why have we only looked at stroke as an acute medical emergency and acute medical care? And when they leave the hospital, there doesn't seem to be the same level of
importance
and urgency to help.
Right. Because the whole wide world, we only realized and came into consensus of long-term stroke management around 10 years ago.
Oh, so it's very recent.
It's very recent. Okay. We have been developing evidences since 2000, mm-hmm. 1990s, about there's a probability that stroke patients need more intervention.
Okay.
And there is a probability of the brain recovering after that, right? So, same in Malaysia, we have good stroke registry data for acute stroke. But from those who have been discharged in the hospital, we are still building it, right? Okay. So in pre-COVID days, we had the opportunity to do a research with Nottingham University to look into the needs or unmet needs of stroke survivors at home and their carers. So we went around Malaysia to recruit survivors and carers and ask them about their unmet needs. Mm. So it's a big and tedious study up to Sabah and Sarawak.
Wow, okay, great.
So the results are just being published last month. So it's not really scary. It's things that we need to ponder and we need to look into. Mm. Because from our respondent, around, let me see the numbers, I'm not good with numbers, around. So around 20 unmet needs, most of them will have 1 to 5, very minimum, of unmet needs that they can't seem to take care of after stroke.
Okay.
72.5% have unmet needs with regards to financial issues. So these are very telling. Mm. Because why? Because when you have stroke, the carers now have to take maybe days off from work just to care for stroke patient. So there will be disruption to their work. Some of them will get fired from their current work. That's one thing. The second thing is that about the hidden expenses of having stroke. When patient went back to home, it's not about having medication only for those cardiometabolic risk factors. It's about to live life after stroke, you know?
Yes.
To live life after stroke, you have to make a lot of adjustment at home. You have to have ripple mattress. You have to have ramp at the area that the stroke patient walk. You have to change the flooring to make it less slippery, change the toilet and the bathroom. So this has to come out from the patients and family pockets, which most of them don't have.
Mm.
They do not know where to get the financial assistance from. Yes, we have Zakat, we have Baitul Mal, we have social and medical services, but these things are expensive.
Okay, why is it that it's not covered in a sense? Because you mentioned that we have great medical care for stroke in Malaysia, we have and it's cheap, subsidized.
Yeah.
But why is it that the very infrastructure needed for people living with stroke is overlooked?
Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, because the awareness that people with stroke are living longer is
because
very
they get
recent.
Younger and they live longer.
Mm. And because of that, there is no, I think there is no platform. Maybe there is no allocation for this to be covered into our national health plan.
Okay.
All right. So I think this need to be really looked into, because these people need to get back into their home, get rehabilitation, get the treatment, and go back to their to society. You know, if they are an engineer, they have to go back to their work. If they have their society leader, Tok Khatib, Tok Imam, they have to go back to the mosque, right?
Life is not over.
Life is not over when you have stroke.
Even if you've had a stroke,
yeah.
you can go back as a productive and a member of society that
Correct.
Contributes to society. Can we talk a little bit about rehabilitation, since you mentioned that? What does that entail for a stroke survivor?
All right. Rehabilitation is actually a training and or exercise for people with disability or impairment in many of medical conditions. For stroke, obviously, like we mentioned, they have problems with limbs, they have problem with mobility, they have problem with swallowing, with doing activity of daily living. So they need retraining. All right. People might know of rehabilitation as physiotherapy. Okay. All right. That is correct. That is correct, because it trains the limbs, it trains the walking, it trains the muscle to act back, to remember, all right? To remember what is lost. It's like training the baby, the infant,
right,
to walk, right? So that's physiotherapy, very important, the integral part of stroke rehabilitation. And in Malaysia, in UKM, and in many parts at Hospital Rehabilitation Cheras, we are very fortunate because we have what we call now neuro rehabilitation. Those who are physiotherapy that are trained in stroke rehabilitation. But rehabilitation is not all of physiotherapy. The second one is what we call occupational therapy. Occupational therapy is a therapist, clinician, that actually trains the small muscles of the hands, the awareness, the cognition, so that people with stroke will start to remember again how to use the hands, how to button the clothes, how to hold the spoon, how to eat. This is very important for them to be independent again. And then there are also what we call speech and language pathologies. It is not many in Malaysia. I wish we had more because it's a very specialized rehabilitation arm that look into how do a people talk, how to use the muscle around the mouth, how to eat properly, swallow properly, so that, you know, the part where we speak, the part where we swallow is the most important aspect that people see after stroke.
Right. Right. Yes. It also it also is has other intangible kind of effects, right?
Yeah.
Ability to communicate, kind of living with dignity, ability to be more independent. I wanted to ask you about who provides rehabilitation services. I sometimes see overseas they have community type rehabilitation centers. I'm wondering whether in Malaysia that's something that we can look to, or do we, you know, is it a home-based rehabilitation? Should it be community-based? Should it be hospital-based? What are your thoughts?
All right. So rehabilitation for stroke, mostly being provided by the hospital-based as outpatient. We have that. We have many in our country, and I'm very grateful. In community, we have quite a number in different forms.
Okay.
Many would have known about NASAM, National Stroke Association, is actually an independent group that provides rehabilitation with a nominal fee to the patient and family across Malaysia. So we are very. I'm grateful for NASAM because they have been doing this for many years. It's a tireless process with a minimal fee so they can get going. Not much support at the moment, but we hope that we can do a lot more with NASAM. Mm. So it provides what we call community-based rehabilitation. And we are also in the process of introducing more community-based rehabilitation led by the patient themselves.
Oh.
What we call the stroke support group. In UKM, we have established a stroke support group, what we call Kekasih. You know, lovers.
That's a lovely name. Kekasih. For support group.
Yeah. Being, the members are stroke survivors themselves. Mm-hmm. They let the other new strokies, stroke survivors, to be in the group, to be motivated to go through rehabilitation, to share their experiences, and to help each other in terms of living with dignity, as you mentioned, in the community, of getting back to work. And they are very active, the stroke survivors group. And we also train our family medicine doctors across the nations to replicate what we have done in UKM to clinic, India Clinic Kesihatan, to start with having the knowledge of managing stroke as a chronic condition. We want to see stroke is being managed as any other chronic condition, to have a stroke registry in klinik kesihatan and to work with the rehabilitation physiotherapy in klinik kesihatan for the betterment of stroke patient. So through UKM, through the, our training of these future family medicine doctors, we are actually spreading the news to them, the knowledge to them. We also have in UKM what we call the community stroke fellowship program. So these are for the family medicine doctors, the specialists, to come back to UKM to learn of how to take care to manage stroke patient in the community. This is aligned with what WHO wants.
Right.
We want more stroke management in the community. We want awareness. We want knowledge transfer. But we want support from the government for service provision, infrastructure, and also acknowledgement for stroke as a chronic condition.
I mean, everything seems like really important that we need to get this right. Can I ask you where you think the areas of priority are? For policymakers out there, when they think about how to the needs of a country, of a comprehensive framework for the country, what would you like them to prioritize, to look into, to also to extend, you know, government intervention in government policy?
We are very fortunate because the recent 2023 National Health White Paper that has been introduced.
I hope there is a segment about a section about stroke survivors in that.
Yes. So we work very hard with the ministry. So one of the pillars in that national white paper is primary prevention.
Okay.
All right. So we hope that it will look into prevention of stroke. We also look into the work, the cohesive work between the hospital and the primary care. I think there would be a lot of funding going into the primary care services, and we hope that this funding into the primary care services will look into stroke as one of the major non-communicable diseases that need attention and emphasize in the primary care.
Is it not currently?
I hope it will be
it
more.
It will be, okay, all right, yes. So kind of having the frontline as a primary care providers, clinics, GPs, to be at the forefront in recognizing stroke, referring stroke and rehabilitation.
And we hope also, because the national white paper also mentioned about private and public partnership.
Okay.
We hope that this knowledge and awareness of stroke management in the community also will translate, also will manifest in terms of the private practitioner as well, in the hospital
so
and in the
GPs. So there will be some kind of spillover effect into the private sector. Prof. Azza, because of your work, 25 years at practicing medicine, and also the work that you do internationally, I'm wondering where you believe are some of the key areas of research going forward. In beginning of our conversation, we talked about all the things that we do know about stroke and stroke survivors living in the community. But what is it that we don't yet know that we should prioritize in learning and getting evidence on? What do you think we need to research to enhance the care of stroke survivors in the community?
All right. We are looking into, we are expanding the research on unmet needs of stroke. We are looking into what the stroke survivors in the community wants. We're also looking into the carers' perspective as well.
Okay.
We work with other countries under World Stroke Organization to look into the needs of stroke patients in other developing countries. At the moment, we are working with Indonesian government in Sulawesi to look into the setting up of community-based rehabilitation in community in Indonesia. We also work with the researcher from Australia and other countries to look into how to set up a stroke rehabilitation excellence center in parts of the world. So okay. this international research is now going on, and we hope to do a piloting on our soil in our country later on next year.
Wonderful. So that all these international collaborations, the knowledge transfer is manifesting into new initiatives here in Malaysia. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, in the last minute or so that we have left, can I get you to tell the camera, tell our audience what it is that you would like our audience to know today?
All right.
Final message.
For me, as I always tell everybody, stroke is a medical emergency. When you have any symptoms of BFAST, go to the nearest hospital to get assessed, diagnosed and managed. And when a family member has stroke, it's not the end of your life. There is life after stroke now. There's a lot of medical intervention. There's a lot of new technologies that help people to go back into the community, to go back to work, to live with stroke. Yeah, it would not be 100% the same, but whatever that you have, the disability, it can be a fulfilling journey after stroke.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very
Professor
much.
Professor Dr. Nur Azhar Abdul Aziz there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.